I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about what God's doing here. I really thought one word for today is one word, if you can remember, and it would make a powerful difference being here this morning. I really felt the Lord said, the word is reset. How many got a gadget like this? Or how many got a computer? Anybody got any kind of a gadget which is like a computer? How many, when you have a gadget like this, sometimes they get into a little bit of trouble? I'm talking about the gadget itself seems to go haywire, little crazy. Like this one here will not respond at times to things that I want it to. So there's actually a button on these phones, and they're called reset. Anybody else have an instrument that you've had to push a button? And sometimes things get so out of whack in these so-called smart phones and smart instruments that they're not so smart anymore. They seem to be operating and acting not the way they were designed to be. They were designed, created to act a certain way. And somehow they get out of sync. Right? So what do we do? Well, sometimes we have to push a button which actually says factory reset. How many have seen that one before? Anybody? Yeah. Well, anyways. Well, it means that we got to reset to the one who originally created this. So there is a designer who wants us to be reset to him. You know, we go on in life and all kinds of other things try to come in. There could be things that would try an attempt to influence us a certain way. I'm talking your life, my life. We're people, you know. It's interesting because it's almost like we're like a magnet, you know. In some ways, we have a negative part of us and a positive part of us. There's some things that repel, some things that draw. Isn't that true? But what's interesting is life has effects. Life has affected you a certain way, make you who you are today. Like me, I've had things in my life, you know, and some of them have been positive, and some of them have been negative. And they've still affected me. Now, what's interesting is sometimes the things that we consider positive, that we consider to be good, we think, well, yeah, well, they're great. There have been some good things in my life. So we hold, it's all, almost like this. My achievements, my accomplishments, my abilities. Well, let me ask you, in and of themselves, are your achievements, accomplishments, and abilities bad? Are they? In and of themselves, they're not bad. We could look at that as being, well, very positive. Or some other negative influences that have come into my life that have hurt me, that have brought affliction in my life, that have actually brought, we would say, mindsets and beliefs that, because of my past, we would call them curses, right? Are you following me? I don't want to get too technical here with big words, but there are things that could be like a curse in my life. So the positive things could be like blessings in my life, right? So there, we have these things going on in life. So they influence us. They make us who we are today. Now, the message today is coming from a scripture which I really, there's just some scriptures that just jump at me and just like really have over the years hit me powerfully. So this is one of those verses in the Bible that really speak to me, that really, when I come back to it, it's like, it helps me to reset. Because I want to be set right, in sync with the designer's purpose for my life. So my message today is to help us to reset to the purpose for which you were created. I was created. The purpose for which God, the intent that he has for all of mankind, but really for you and I. So I want you to turn for our little reading in Philippians chapter 3. Just going to read a few verses there in Philippians chapter 3. Actually, we started in good time, so we're going to end up in good time today. So even if we had a short meeting, you guys would be home for lunch before you know it. You never know with this preacher, though. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. No, I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. We're gonna be good today. Awesome. Philippians chapter 3. I'm gonna read several verses here. So if you're listening or following along, Philippians chapter 3, if you want to go ahead and turn to the if we're going to begin to read, let's read. Philippians 3, I want to start reading in verse 3. There's quite a few verses here, so if you want to follow it along, just keep scrolling through as I'm reading. It's up here as well. You can watch and read from up there, or follow along. Okay, so I'm reading Philippians 3, verse 3. I'm sorry. For if we who are circumcision, I'm going to stop for a minute. This is Paul, the apostle, writing. Okay, Paul was a Jew. Circumcision would be that. It would be a distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. In that terminology, circumcision was like we are Jews. We're circumcised people. So that's, he says, for if we who are the circumcision, which is really we who are the Jews, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, what he's saying is, even though I had everything going for me, I was in the right, you know, born a Jew, and I worship God in the Spirit, and glory in Christ, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though, he said, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. And he talks about what, if there's anyone who could say, hey, look at your achievements. Look at your accomplishments. Look at your qualities, man. Look at your gifts. He said, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in his ability, in his accomplishments, in his flesh, in the natural way of looking at things, he says, I have more. He says, there's something, if you look at my resume, come on, how many of you like to have a resume all just doctored up when you go to the job interview? They can look at that resume and say, wow, I am just blown away with how great you are. You know, we're just talking about a job situation here with Susan, so I kind of just having some fun here, right? But, you know, but it was not just the resume of what he carried that he says, if anyone can boast in that, I could boast in it. Then he says, I was circumcised the eighth day, which is by the law, according to the Jewish custom. And I was of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as far as zeal, persecuting the church, as far as legalistic righteousness, faultless. Okay, that's a pretty good resume. What's he saying? Listen, if there's anyone who had a high class resume that somehow he would be acceptable, he would be. He should be. Because it's like, what he's saying? I'm a pretty good guy. Okay, that's all. Basically, he's saying, I'm a pretty good guy. I got everything going for me because all those things are really going to somehow get me connected with the big guy. Well, look what he says then. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. whatever was to my profit, whatever seemed to be the gain to me, I'm saying it's of no value. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Now, what he's saying is, listen, when it comes to being evaluated in my life, in your life, when it comes to standing before God in any way that would be pleasing and acceptable to him, all that I had counts for nothing. The only thing that matters is Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, you know, that's a pretty strong language that's used here. I'm going to read to you these words, and you're going to hear these words in a translation called The Message. How many of you know that translation? Listen to, I'm going to read it to you. I have it here. So the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my Master, firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. You know what he calls it? Dog dung. Dog poop. Man, that's pretty stinky stuff. It's not just that it's trash. It's stinking, dirty trash. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior. Listen, this is so important. I didn't read this part yet in the other translation, but hear it in this translation. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could have the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Let me read it to you back in the NIV, verse 9. And to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, and it is by faith. What I want us to recognize today is that we got to be reset. I need to be reset. I need a reset regularly, not just once a year. It's like an oil change. In order to keep this machinery working right, I need a regular maintenance. You need a regular maintenance. Examine ourselves to see, what is it that I'm doing all this stuff for? What's the motivation? You know that song we read last night? Search me, O God, know my heart. See if there's anything in me that's misaligned, that's not according to the manufacturer's setting. Because you see, it's so easy for us to even do righteous things with the wrong motive. It's healthy to take a look at ourselves and say, what's it all about? You know what? One of the interesting things is we look at each other. You know, we're great at this. Because if I'm dealing with my own life with the legalistic righteousness, what do I mean by that? by righteousness that has a bunch of lists and do's and don'ts. I'm looking at my life and I say, oh, you're a good man because you go to church regularly. You're a good man because you're a good girl. You're a good guy. Because all of these things you do make you righteous. So what happens when I look at somebody else and they're not doing those things? We don't think that they're righteous. Who gives us the right to judge? There's only one judge. That's God. See, the rules that we set for righteousness are not God's rules for righteousness. I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with doing right things. Are you with me? Don't misread it and misunderstand it. What we're talking about is the things that matter the most. Things that matter the most are not the good things and the right things to do. Things that matter the most. And here's a guy who had everything kind of good and right about him. And all of a sudden he realizes that those things didn't matter, because what mattered the most was his relationship with Jesus. What mattered the most was Jesus in his life. And the righteousness that God would grant to him, that he would wear, that his life would be wearing Jesus as righteousness. Get a picture of this. Jesus covers you. He puts on you and I, the Bible describes as a robe of righteousness. He is who makes you and I acceptable. When God looks at you and I, he sees Jesus. He sees the covering. He doesn't see you and your good works and everything or anything you can carry. So to embrace Jesus means you can be right in the sight of God, because he's done it all. You know the verse I quote often? It says, he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What's he saying? There's a place where 2 Corinthians chapter, if you were looking for 2 Corinthians 5, 21, he who knew no sin became sin for us. So it was like he took upon himself our junk. Come on. That we might know, as Paul says here, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness, in verse 9 it says, this righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, and it is by faith. I want to be acceptable to him. I want to be acceptable by him, by God. And the way that I'm acceptable by God is that he grants me, he gives to me his righteousness as a gift. And I receive it. When I receive his righteousness, then I don't need to earn his favor in that way. I just know this is how God operates. I love this passage in Philippians, because it talks much more about not just having this righteousness, and which really what it is having Jesus. Let's keep it simple. Having Jesus in your life is having righteousness. Because what happens, he then is able to operate in you and through you. That's what Paul's saying. Paul is saying, now here's the thing. I want you to get something here. When I try to do it in my own ability, not having Jesus being the power behind it, which is no different than the Holy Spirit. By the way, when I say Jesus living in me, I'm talking about God's presence living in me. He lives in me by his Spirit. Are you with me? It's not complicated. It's quite, you know, we think about it. So Jesus living in me, his Spirit living in me, his presence living in me. So when I choose, when I live life, when I choose to do activities or do whatever, there's a couple of ways to do it here. One is I can stress about it. Right? Are you with me? Are you human? Got a pulse beat? How many of you know you can stress about stuff? Okay, how many of you can strive? How many know you can strive? Not only can you stress, but you can strive in your own ability to make it happen. Are you with me? Okay, I can stress about it, which is taking it on myself, or I can strive in my own ability to make it happen. Come on, I'm just going to do it. Yeah, determine, it's going to get done. All right, so what happens? Well, you get it done, but it could be a train wreck. Could be all, look, I'll tell you, I'm married. I know what that looks like. Okay, and you know, because you know, if you could be like, hey, I don't want to be hurting people along the way, especially those that are real near dear to me. It could be my kids. It could be any situation. So instead of stressing and striving, how about we just submit and surrender? Those are the words to remember today. What this relationship is about submitting to God in you. This relationship is about surrendering to the presence and the power of God who is in you. And guess what? When you surrender to the presence and the power of God, then it is Christ in you who's the hope of glory. Then he comes forth from our life. The characteristic, you know what I desire more than anything else? I'm not telling you and saying that I live like this. I'm not saying I'm all that and I'm super this, super God, child, super Christian. All I'm saying is that this is the desire of my heart. And this is what Paul talks about. So when he gets to this point, now listen, here's a guy who's been a follower of Jesus for 30-some years. This letter he wrote in Philippians, he was 60-some years old. He was in prison. He was almost at the end of his race. And he talks about that. In Philippians chapter 1, he says, I'm ready to go. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You remember that? First Philippians 1:21. He's talking about if I go, I go. Even in his last part of his life, what's he thinking about? He's not just thinking about, well, now I've come, it's great, I've done it, I've achieved it, I've accomplished it, I've come, I've been a super saint and super God this and whatever. He's realized, man, the walk like Jesus walked is what's important. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But this is what he says, Philippians, back in that chapter, Philippians 3, and he's now talking about, even in this stage of his life, he says in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He says, I want to know Christ. You know what he's saying? I want to have such an intimate connection with Christ that knowing there's not just, I don't want to know about him. I want to experience him. I want to tangibly know what he's like in me and for me and through me. I want to know. The word there is intimate word. The word that's used there is the same word as having a relationship, intimate relationship with somebody. That's what the word is. It's not just know about. It's knowing in a way that's real, that's tangible. So Paul is saying, I just want to know. Now, here's the thing. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Your life and my life is going to have good times. It's going to have bad times. It's going to have hardships and difficulty. So, as I said, there's negative and positive, right? There's just stuff that comes. Sometimes we look at the negative and say, oh, that was the devil. He just brought that in my life. And he just caused that trouble. And all, you know, whatever's going on, we almost want to blame everything on the devil. But let me tell you something. How many of you know that even if it was the devil, God is not just going to let the devil have his way without a purpose that he wants to accomplish in your life? And the glory goes to who? Come on, even if it is the devil, God wants glory. So things happen in your life and my life that are stress points, that are pressure points, that are difficult, that are hard. And maybe some of you are going through some of that. All you, we're just praying against it. In the name of Jesus, cast this thing off of me. Cast this. I want to do that. But ask God this question. Lord, what's there of the suffering of Christ I need to learn? Is there something there? I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the sufferings of Christ. And maybe through that hardship and difficulty that's coming in my life, there's a grace that God wants to extend. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh. How many remember that story? There was this thing. There was a trial. I don't know what it was like. Let's go to it because you guys are all... Some of you are looking like deer in the headlight. You know what that's like? Oh, yeah, talk to me, but I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And okay, so listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul talks about this experience. He's talking, verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let me tell you something. That thorn in the flesh, that affliction, that torment that you might feel, it's God's way to give you power. Give you a grace is his ability. Grace is his supernatural ability to demonstrate his power. So this is the opportunity. This is the opportunity for God to shine. This is the opportunity for God to crush Satan under his heel. Come on, this is an opportunity. This is not, the messenger was from Satan, but God has an opportunity to get glory and victory in your life. What the enemy thought that he had, and there are people, I know there are people who've been hurt in life. I know people who've been shamed. I know people who've been abused. I know people who have now lived life that are so caught in such a web of this shame and guilt and really victim mentality. Are you following what I'm getting at? It's so easy to kind of get to that place where you think, oh, this happened, it's terrible. And it is terrible. I'm not minimizing the power and the ugliness of that thing, but is there power and grace greater than the weakness that has left you? And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says here, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Instead of being a victim, you become victorious in the name of Jesus, and you set many captives free. Come on. You know, one of the stories I love, it's very much a modern-day story, and it's a friend of ours that we've, and I'll use it because some of you know, the founder of Harvest House Ministries in Atlantic Canada is Cal Mascarey. How many of you know Cal's story? And if you don't know Cal's story, it's quite an amazing story because this guy was in prison. His dad was in prison. God rescued Cal. He got saved out of prison. And in a kidnapping situation, he and his dad were in. It was pretty back then. Anyways, but God rescued them, rescued him. And now there are literally hundreds and thousands of people who have been touched by God through this ministry to see many hundreds set free. What the enemy intended for evil, God turns it around. See, here's the thing. I have no idea. And I sometimes, even if that weakness rises up in me, it's the opportunity for God. If that weakness rises up in me, it's the opportunity for me to submit to God and let him arise. It's an opportunity for me not only to suffer in that regard, you know, because the pain might still come, but I can say, I submit to God because I want the resurrection power of Jesus to come forth in my life. I don't want this thing, the suffering, to be mad. See, if I am in pain, how many of you know, wounded people, hurt people do what? Hurt people. But hurt people who are healed, heal people. Are you following me? If you've been hurt and you keep living in that hurt and keep bemoaning it, no, then guess what? You lash out with that hurt. But when I get the healing and I continue to walk in the healing in the presence of God, then my life becomes a healing instrument, in your life. So when that stuff comes to me, and anybody get triggered by things of the past? I do. I'm telling you, when you live in a relationship with a wonderful wife, or in a good, you know, any kind of a people context, whether it's wife or brother, sister, work, you know, you're close with people, stuff comes up to the surface. You and I then got to deal with the stuff. This is real. Then I got to say, so this stuff rises up, but it's that moment when I can just stress or strive, or I can submit and surrender. It's that moment where I can just say, Christ, you rise up in me. Now, even if I fail and fall, which I do, what do? Then I still declare that Christ in me is the hope of glory. Because his presence and his power is continually being manifested in my life. I don't live out of that failure. I do what God called me to do, which is to confess, to repent, to deal with it. If I've messed up, if I've hurt you, I ask for forgiveness. All of that stuff that needs to continue to happen so I can walk with Christ living in me. This reset is so important. Guys, this message is all about continually being reset with the purpose for which we're called. It's all about Christ living in me. It's all about his resurrection power. It's all about knowing him. So even in that moment, I want you to get back to this for a moment. Even in that moment, think about it. If you have an addiction situation where you struggle with something, even in that moment, if you're trusting in Christ, sometimes people say, "Oh, I wish this craving would go. I wish this power." Well, how about this? If it doesn't go in the moment when you have that impulse, in the moment that you have this thing to lash out, that you submit to God. And when you submit to God, he wins, because you submit to God, he gets the glory. Okay, can that happen? Sure it can. And it will. What about the times when I don't? And it rises up. Is Christ enough for me then? Is Christ any different for me in mercy and forgiveness and compassion? What I'm trying to say to you is this. Will you experience Christ either of those two ways? Follow me. You get the victory, great. You experience Christ's power. Amen? How about if you fall and you go to him for mercy, do you experience Christ? Are you getting me? Hey, you're experiencing Christ. It's who do I go to? Where do I go to? Where do I draw my strength from? Because in that moment, what does the enemy want to do? He wants to just take you out, right? He wants to say, well, look at you. You screwed up. You messed up. You know, and it's just like, let's just rather than saying, hey, Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is the one who covers me. In him, I am victorious. And come on, it's that place where I need to see him as all in all to me, everything for me. I've shared this with you before, and you know, maybe you don't want to hear this. There's times a preacher could be out there preaching, or thoughts could come into my mind that are not from God. And I'm carrying on a work for God. Now, has that happened? Yeah. What do I do with those thoughts? What do I do? You think a person is so holy that they never think bad things? So what do? We submit it to Jesus. See, if Christ isn't all for me at every moment of my life, then what good is this? This is the mercy of God. And he loves it when we come to him and say, God, I screwed up. God, I messed up. Those thoughts flashed across me. I entertained them for a minute. I entertained them for 5 seconds. In the name of Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. They are not a part of me. Amen? Come on, are you following me? This has got to be practical, guys. This has to work. It's what he's done. It's what he's accomplished. Rather than continuing to live in that cycle of shame and guilt and condemnation. And who do you think got you there and got me there? But the enemy. So I just want to wrap up with a couple of verses. I said we'll behave today, so we are going to. We'll wrap it up with these last couple of verses. Second Philippians chapter 3, back to that. And I want to just, so you go to Philippians 3. And so, all right. This is leading up to the message for next week. So I'm just going to give it to you quickly. And we'll go, maybe we'll go there next week. So I've already talked about some of this stuff, but let's just wrap it up here. In verse 12. Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold. I press on for that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? Man, I'm telling you, it's what we've been talking about, really. We don't need to repeat it again. Whether it's the past, whether it's the present, whether it's the future, whatever you're concerned about today, wherever your mind goes, and it could go back and forth, different directions, Christ is the reset for every instant, for every situation. Don't make it, oh, well, this is nice little trivial thought, Christ. I'm talking about experiencing it. There are places I have not yet experienced the intimacy of Christ. And some of those experiences are going to come through fire. Some of them are going to come through the flood. Some of them are going to come through great victory. Some of them are going to come through just those glorious testimonies. The resurrection power of Jesus being manifested. But let me tell you, I am not limiting my experience of Christ in one way or another. How many of you want to experience Christ in his fullness? You know, God became flesh to dwell among us, that we as God's people could understand and know God in a way that's greater than you can even imagine. Man, what an opportunity. So Lord, I pray even now in the name of Jesus, I pray for each of us here that God would give us a greater expression of himself, a greater impression of himself, a greater revelation of himself, greater realization of himself, that we would know, God, this is who you are. This is what you're like. I will not know what you're like unless I've gone through this and come to you and humble myself to receive what you have offered to me. Ask God in the pain and the hardship, decisions, indecisions, things that you're going through, things that have happened to you. God, what's there that you want to teach me of Christ? Is there something of Jesus that's going to be glorified in this in my life? Or am I willing to just say, oh, well, that's how it is, que sera, sera. God's desire to become man, to become flesh, is to reveal himself to you. God's desire is that he's light and he continually wants to be light to you. His desire is to reveal. God's a revealer. His desire is to reveal himself to you. I don't want to limit him at all, man. I don't want any barrier between me and God to express who he is and what he's like in my life. Even my failures can be used by God. That's what we read here. Because in those moments of weakness, his grace and mercy and strength comes through. I give you glory, Lord. I give you praise. I give you honor for all that you're doing and all that you've done in my life. I just say, guys, even in your spirit, even right now, can you just say, I humbly receive from you, Lord, your hand. All that you want to do to make me more like Jesus. That I may know you. That I may love you. That I may serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.